Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Cowboys, indeed.
Okay, we're back. The About Them Cowboys podcast, the Athletic Podcast Network, took a week off. John took a little vacation, put the feet up down in Hawaii, you know, wore all white, took a lot of photos. But a lot of Cowboys news happened over the past week. Never fails with the Dallas Cowboys. Try to take some time off and they'll come at you. And so here we are to talk about it. But the best of the best when it comes to breaking down all things Dallas Cowboys. We've got Saad Youssef off Stars duty. We've got John off vacation. And of course, your host from Sports and Such and the Ben and Skin Show, Kevin KT Turner, is back. Welcome back, KT.
Well, thank you. And good to see you guys again. Let's get things going here because right when John takes off to get just a couple days, man, the whole Cowboys universe implodes. Actually, not really. The question I have first, because we know the big story on ESPN, I think by now, unless you've been living under a rock, we don't need to detail any of those things. It's the articles by Don Van Natta. You've probably seen it. If you haven't, I don't know what to tell you. Where you been? How much does the fan give a damn about this? Because I know for us in the media, like we know Rich, who you know was the accused in this piece. We know him and have known him for a long time. I've kind of the whole time, I mean, we talked about it on the air on my radio show, and I know other radio shows have talked about it. How much does the fan care about this? I kind of think they do because it's the Cowboys and it's salacious.
Yeah, I think they care. I don't know to what degree, but it certainly matters because of other things like this happening in the NFL. So that's going to make people care. And then the fact of, I think it's pretty safe to say Rich is one of the most known PR guys in the NFL, if not around all of sports, just because he's always been around Jerry and Jerry always makes news. So, and then on top of it, you know, I mean, Rich has been, when Jerry was on Entourage, Rich was in there. You know, Dez has one of the most notable blowups in a locker room in the NFL of the last decade plus and yells out, "Fix this shit, Rich." So even if you didn't know, like you're going to start piecing things together. So I think, yeah, people don't know who Rich is. Like they know who Stephen Jones or Charlotte Jones are, but I think Rich is right in that mix of people that you just are used to seeing. So when you hear this story, it's not like it's somebody that works back in like marketing or sales or, you know, like the thing that I was thinking about a lot when I read a lot of this stuff is it reminded me of just things that have happened recently with the Dallas Mavericks. And there's just a lot of people involved in that Mavericks story where you're like, I don't really know who this person is. And I know some people that work for the Mavs and I've never heard them even mention this person. But with Rich Dalrymple, he's been around. I mean, to be Jerry's, you know, right-hand man going all the way back to the, you know, when Jerry bought the team, you're going to know who he is. And so obviously I think fans care to that point. I would say another factor in it though, is that Rich retired 2 weeks before the story comes out. And so I think if he's still with the team, it makes a little bit more noise because then it's like, why is he still employed and why isn't the NFL stepping in on something like this? So there's several different ways to look at it, but I do think fans care though.
Yeah, I think fans care. I think it's just the fact that he retired kind of takes it off the front page headlines. But I think, like you said, John, he's just so visible. And as a PR guy, I mean, the other thing is that a lot of times the PR people are kind of going with the vibe and going with the way that a lot of the people that they're looking out for on the team go with. So it raises some more questions within the organization and just, you know, how things are run. Like you said, with the Mavericks, it's not necessarily those sole actions. It's about the culture and it's about, you know, like when the Mavericks story did come out, it was about the culture of, of all those kind of sexual harassment, all that stuff. And so if Rich is doing that stuff, I think it also kind of raises that question of what kind of culture the Cowboys have.
Well, and the other reason why I think fans would care too is, I mean, I forgot to mention this first off. I mean, this isn't just any cheerleading team. I mean, this is a cheerleading team that is very well known. there are certainly people that watch their reality show that probably don't care at all about football. And so because of that as well, that ties in another group of people as well that take this story to another level too, that make it even more of a headline type thing, you know? And then also, I mean, just the stuff that's gone on recently in Washington, it just makes it look like this is going on all throughout the NFL.
It started with a cheerleader thing there too, didn't it? Yeah. With a video going around, like bloopers or something from cheerleaders or something.
Well, I know Washington has gotten compared to this a little bit, but to me, it almost reminds me more of a college when you see internal investigation, you know? They mean like, oh, hold on, we've got this. Hold on, we've got this.
We're investigating ourselves.
The way the NFL operates is like, oh, no, you guys, you did your internal investigation. You took the proper steps. I mean, it just feels like things could have gone way differently if the security guard in the article talked about this in the beginning, the security guard wanted to go to the police. Well, what if he does immediately? I mean, I think that changes everything. So it's wild, too. I mean, chronologically.
I don't know about that, though. I could be wrong on this, KT, but how do you know? If the police is involved, they could look at it and get the same stuff that.
But there's a police report filed and stuff. Maybe
and be like, we didn't get another phone. This is what we have. You know, there's only so much we can look into. These NDAs were signed.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's no guarantee that it changes if the police were involved.
It's just the way it was reported, and it was reported, you know, Donovan, not as excellent reporter.
Absolutely.
But like the way it was reported makes it very easy for your mind to go places and start thinking, well, what if here? And, the thing that I started to go is, okay, internal investigation. Okay, security guard wanted to go there. We know about the money involved in the NDA. Why did it take 8 days to meet with the cheerleaders in person? Well, that feels like, and just makes it's very easy for me to go here. It makes it very easy to go, well, they had to get rid of footage. They had to get rid of the check his phone. Like, it just feels like it's very easy for your mind to go, it's a cover-up. I'm not saying it is, but it's very easy for your mind to think that.
Well, and just if you're completely innocent of all of this, and this is just complete misunderstanding, I think this, I don't know, I think the most easiest, simplest way to come to conclusion is, all right, you got the key card. You got the time that he entered. All you have to do is show how long he was in there. I mean, I know it seems simple, but like if the person is only in there and clocks out I don't know if it's the key card would read it on the way out or it would be a video from the video cameras outside, the surveillance cameras outside the locker room. But if he's only in there for like, you know, 5-10 seconds, I don't think you have much of anything. But if you get that info and he was in there for 2-3 minutes, it's going to be hard to prove that you're just using the bathroom and didn't know. Whoa, the cheerleaders are in here too. I mean, there's some logic there that if you just gave out that information, it would end a lot of any speculation that not only we're having right now, but many others have had in the previous week.
Also, it's very interesting that it was 2 years, you know, 2015, you know, the Me Too movement started kind of like spinning its wheels in maybe 2017. You know, and things like that. And it makes me wonder if it would have been handled any differently by the Cowboys looking at public pressure. Maybe not. It's the Cowboys. I think power dynamics really come into play here. There's a feeling, I would imagine, by some people in that organization that you're a little bit untouchable because, you know what? Sometimes you are.
Between us, if you were to, you know, rank in hierarchy the organization, it'd be Jones family. And Rich would have been like the next person, right? Probably.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's wild, though, is you go to the chronological thing is what happened allegedly in May, according to Randy Horton. And I think immediately when you read the article, it's go, what? A guy on Facebook said he saw that. The guys on Facebook watching the stream said he saw it. And then I start to go, well, instead of jumping to guy on Facebook, shouldn't we assume that most teachers are good? Like most teachers are good. I know not all are, but most teachers are good. I was like, well, the guy is a teacher and a lifelong Cowboys fan. So I think that balances out the guy on Facebook claim.
Okay. It's more than just. Well,
Okay, yeah. Hold on here. I mean, maybe I'm just wired differently than most people, but like if I'm watching anything on TV and something happens that annoys me, if it's something that, let's say, like it's a basketball game or it's anything or something I think that's funny that happened, one of the first things I do is I go to Twitter, because I know if it's something that people are watching, there's going to be other people that are commenting on it too. I just find it very hard to believe with how many people would be watching that live stream, not to mention like everybody, every one of us that covers a draft, you watch that because there are big time tells in that room with which coaches are in there and things like that of which direction they're going to be going. This wasn't on a seventh round pick on the last day where people are like, man, I don't even know who's even watching this stream anymore. A lot of times they take it down. But on the first night of the draft, people are glued to that stream and there's nobody else that like on Twitter or anything that was like, hey, did you see that in the draft room? This is like right before they drafted Byron Jones or right after. I don't remember what it was exactly. Like there's a lot of people watching that. Nobody else noticed this at all except for one guy. It seems
nobody's watching Rich.
That seems it's not about watching Rich. It's the fact of like there's only five people on the screen. And if somebody's doing something as ridiculous as that and it's that obvious that you file a complaint about it, I find it hard to believe that there aren't at least minimum 15 other people that saw something similar. And so if you whittle out 15, how is there not at least one or two other people that were like, I saw that too?
I don't know, beat around the bush enough to, I was running the stream that day, just so happened to be the Byron Jones stream. And there are times, not in this incident, but there are times, I guess, in the past where things would happen over the course of years and we would wonder if anybody saw it, right? And so we would do that. We would check Twitter and see if anybody saw anything or is tweeting about it.
Give me a hypothetical that didn't really happen, just something though. Oh,
I don't know. Jason Garrett picked his nose.
Yeah, there's no way I wouldn't notice that.
Something like
the first round pick.
Something like that. I'm not going to give the example because I don't want to implicate anybody for anything, you know, that they don't want to be implicated.
I'm just telling you, man.
But there were times where stuff did happen that we saw that we got concerned about, and we'd be like, you know, see if anybody would tweet about it, and one person did. One.
Yeah.
And the stuff that we knew and saw happened. So if you're saying that 15 people would have been tweeting if this happened, I don't know if I can agree with that because
Okay.
Stuff that we saw,
are any of those things, as close to as ridiculous as someone taking an upskirt photo on a woman who's wearing a long skirt? It's not like she's wearing some short skirt where you kind of like half quick do it or something like that. Like she's wearing a long skirt. I just don't understand how that there wouldn't be something there where more than one person would notice something that ridiculous with somebody with their phone doing that.
It's like the draft's happening, man. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, no comment.
Draft's
no comment,
happening.
But,
it's
but
quick.
I think it's, yeah. I
think no rewind.
The guy signed an affidavit that he saw what he saw. I can't deny the guy's testimony, but, you know, for the question is if the evidence was there, why wasn't something done sooner? You know, why did it take this story to come out in 2022 for anything to happen? And I guess that's the big question.
Well, I think it's because it's big business and it's hard to get anything to come out on the record. We all hear stuff, but it's another to sit there and to legally be able to put something out there. These people have signed NDAs. It makes it difficult. It's not as easy as just, hey, go round up some people. It's wild.
Those are the things like multiple quotes in the article, and I'm paraphrasing right now because I don't have it printed out in front of me, but it was just little things like the idea that the cheerleaders knew that it would do them no good to say anything. And that is, I mean, honestly, that's me too to a T.
Yeah.
That is power dynamics in play.
Right.
And 2015, I don't know. I mean, you fast forward this thing to 2019, I think we might be looking at a different story.
Right.
2015, they did go forward and nothing happened. I mean, they got paid, but that's not what they wanted.
And it might be over.
They wanted his ass gone.
That might be it.
What, it never happened.
I mean, there's a part of me that kind of thought this would, there might be more coming down the pike, and I guess there could be. That might be it. I mean, especially when the day after that story drops, the NFL's like, oh, we're satisfied with their internal investigation. I'm like, oh, we're not going to ask any questions about the internal investigation. As I definitely have problems about it. Why 8 days? Why did it take 8 days to meet with them in person? I don't understand for the life of me. Cohen, in the article, who was, his title escapes me right now.
He's the lead lawyer, basically.
Yeah.
And he says in the article, well, yeah, I guess Rich could have lied about his phone. And I was like, well, he could have. When have you ever heard a lawyer say, well, the guy could have lied? Like, I just don't like hear that. So it's just, I mean, look, I don't know. If the reporting is accurate, and I have no reason to believe that any of that's inaccurate because it's Don Van Natta, right? I think it's real easy to go, well, they're covering stuff up. Not saying that's what they're doing. It's real easy for your mind to go there. And we've all seen stories like this where it's going, I don't know about that. And, well, I don't know about that. Boy, this one's very connect the dots. In fact, so connect the dots that at one point they call the incident. They call it the incident.
Right.
In the bedroom. Rich is not denying that he was in there. And the cheerleader in the story says they ran after him. Right. Like,
the stadium had been open for 6 years at that point. The dude had worked there 25 years. He's talking about mistakenly going into a room that the guy knows exactly what he's doing. I mean, this is, it's honestly ridiculous for any of it to be, I don't know, a mistake or I didn't know what I was doing or any of that crap is honestly laughable. I mean,
well, the other part of it too is if all of this is completely true, like, how are you to believe with something that's that ridiculous that somebody would do that? Why would you believe that's the only time they've ever done something like that?
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
How many times had he used that key card? Yeah. That they didn't know about it. Right.
Those are the things that are kind of honestly kind of frustrates me about it is okay. So internal investigation, we should be able to get key card access. We should know that. We should know all that. We should be able to, and because it's 7 years ago, maybe you couldn't get it this soon. Stream, what happened on the stream? We have a copy of the live stream from 2015. Like that to me is very frustrating. Yeah. To me. Why it take 8 days?
Seems like an easy fix. Just put out the clip in question.
A lot of things that kind of go, and then you throw in his retirement, which you're like, okay, that's very strange. And, you know, there wasn't much of a send-off, I guess, for a guy who'd been there for 32 years. Wasn't much of a send-off for his retirement. You didn't see much. It was a little bit of a story, and that's about it. The only people that you really heard talking good about him were, you know, maybe people on the radio who had no idea that, you know, what might be coming down the line. Not that anyone knew.
I saw it in the Dallas Morning News, and then messaged some people I knew at the Cowboys, and they didn't even know it was happening. Like, that had talked to Rich, like, in the recent days, you know? Like, so, it was a very quick decision, I think, maybe on his part. It didn't seem like he was leading up to that at the end of the season or anything like that. This is his last ride, anything like that. It seemed all pretty abrupt, pretty sudden, and one day he was there, and the next day he wasn't, so.
The other thing is, too, is when you're a brand as powerful as the Dallas Cowboys, and you have the money the Dallas Cowboys do, if there is absolutely no chance of any wrongdoing, you fight this thing to the end.
Right. Yeah.
Why would you reach a settlement? Exactly. You would fight this thing like, okay, we have all this evidence. Like, you want to take it to court? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this has nothing to do with this individual thing, but I haven't been to very many court hearings and other than, you know, seeing stuff on TV, but the one that I have been to is I went to one of those for when Tony Romo was his, you know, his cousin's fantasy football convention was going up against the NFL to have that convention. And just the optics of you going against the NFL in a courtroom in Dallas was just stunning to me. I don't know anything about law, but just sitting there and seeing how they rolled in the NFL six deep, which is binders of stuff. You're just like, okay, good luck with this, bud. Like, good luck fighting that. Like, you're going against, you're going against a heavyweight here. You're probably not winning this thing just by the optics of this alone. Maybe you get him in a loophole or something like that. But like, when it's big business like that, good luck, especially when they don't feel like they're in the wrong. Like, they're going to, okay, you want to take this? Let's go to court. There's no wrongdoing here. We can prove there's no wrongdoing here. But to make something go away where you're like, ugh, that's the thing that, and I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying that's the optics of it. That's the way it looks.
Yeah. Sod, how you feel about everything, man? Let's just throw Sod out there.
Never a dull moment.
No, it's not. And I think everything that you guys have just kind of been saying is right on point. I just think that, you know, when you look at KT, to your point, when you look at just the all the dots that are out there and you connect them all, I just think that there's no way that a lot of this was just accidental. And I do think the lack of a send-off for Rich, given his close personal relationship with Jerry and with the organization in general, with a lot of the players there, everything. Look, I've been in that locker room for 7 years, and I know how the players talk about Rich, how they talk to him. There's like a clear pecking order when he's not just a PR guy. Like, he's, I would say, between the PR guys and actual like ownership, just in terms of how people are treated, he's closer to the ownership side than just, you know, one of the other three PR guys that are there. So I think there's a lot there in the retirement thing. And Ken, like, I did talk to a couple people in the Cowboys organization as well, just on like the marketing department and stuff, and they didn't know that Rich was leaving either. It came into a surprise to everyone. So yeah.
Very weird.
Well, should we talk about what happened the day before that story came out?
Let's do it.
Old Mike McCarthy's like, you know what? I think I'm going to go on the Rich Eisen show out of nowhere just 2 days after the Super Bowl. I was like,
oh, I go on Rich Eisen show all the never. Sorry, go on.
Me and Rich go way back. I mean, to the last time I was on his show.
15 minutes ago. Yeah.
2006 or whatever. No, I really don't know. I don't know. But it's like, I was like, okay, that's interesting. Why? 2 days after the Super Bowl, kind of a notorious dead week. But here we are. And his comments were interesting. I got to tell you, I didn't have a problem with any of his comments. So I know I might be a little notorious for being critical of McCarthy. I actually kind of like some of the things that he said. Although some of the things that did make me roll my eyes, because I have heard him say things like this before. But you don't really ever see anyone call out the landscape, as he called it, landscape of the organization, in a subtle and unexpected manner like that. At least, and maybe that's just being brainwashed by years of Jason Garrett to cover this team, because he would never. But for Mike McCarthy to basically just go out and say, hey, look, you guys don't understand. Coach the Cowboys, a little different than coaching somewhere else. Ken, I know you had some audio there. I would like to start with him discussing, we can go right there, discussing Dan Quinn coming back. Can we start there?
Yep.
Dan Quinn being here was very important to me and our organization. You know, I think it's the reality of it is, you know, Dan and I had visited long before he ever took a head coach interview, frankly, long before the playoffs even started, mm-hmm. you know, about how happy he is here, you know, and I envy him in some ways where, you know, as a head coach, you get pulled away from the things that really you advance in this league. So, I mean, the joy that he was having coordinating, he's been a tremendous asset for me, you know, personally and professionally, just, you know, just having another individual with the experience of a head coach. So, you know, we talked about him staying here, you know, long before he even took the interview. Now, obviously, when he took the interview and then this, you know, this narrative broke out, I think it in reflection to the relationship that Dan and I do have, you know, he just said, hey, man, if I'm not comfortable with this narrative, you know, if you really feel like I need to take one of these jobs, you know, just be honest with him. And we kind of laughed about it. And I just said, Dan, 10 to 12 years ago, I'd tell you, please get the hell out of here. I don't want to deal with this. But the reality of it is I'm about winning. He's about winning. And the best thing for the Cowboys is for Dan Quinn to be here. And, you know, obviously it was his decision, his alone. But, I clearly wanted him to know from the start of all that, you know, I wanted him here.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I think some people probably listen to that and feel like, Jerry's not going to like to hear that. I think Jerry's just fine with it. And the reason being why, I think all of this was done on purpose. I think Jerry was trying to light a fire under his ass. I think Jerry was disappointed with the way the season ended. He wasn't going to change head coaches. And he didn't like the fact that it ended the way it did with a team that looked nothing like any of the other teams that advanced in the playoffs. And he thinks that this is one of the best rosters he's ever had. And I think Jerry said a lot of the things he said on purpose. And I don't think Jerry cares to take any of them back. I think this was Jerry's way of like lighting a fire under Mike and to just kind of, you know, kind of show, hey, You know, we like Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn's got a chance. He could be the coach of the Cowboys one day. Sean Payton was in a similar situation. Jason Garrett, like, there's no accident that Jerry just accidentally said any of that stuff. It just slipped out. No, Jerry knew what he was doing. And I believe the whole entire time that that's what he was doing. And that's why, and I believe that Mike knows that. And so how is Mike going to respond to that? Was he going to start tweeting? Is he going to reach out and say, we need to have a press conference about this? No, he's going to call up somebody that he knows and be like, hey, how can I get this word out? You know, simplest way possible, quickest way, whatever, to let my feelings be known. And that's the take I got from early on in that interview when Rich Eisen began asking the question and Mike said, how much time do we got here? Is this an hour? That doesn't sound like somebody that, you know, they just decided to reach out to, and it just happened to be like, oh, hey, I'm available today. I got nothing going on. I'll talk to you. Like, it just, and that's good. Mike should stand up for himself. So I don't think that Jerry has any issues with this, and Mike can sit there and compare it to the Packers and stuff, but like, I don't know. Why'd you take this job if you did? I mean, there's a part of me that's like, how did you not know this is how it goes down here? Like, I mean, you're the one saying that, like, you know, you didn't watch all the plays. You wanted the job. Did you not do the due diligence on the way the organization's run? Is it because you just wanted the job? I mean, these are things that I don't think they're unrealistic to ask.
The other thing, so I agree with you that Jerry would have a problem with that. But would Jerry have a problem with him bringing up Sean Payton? Because we have that clip, and I think we should play that. Because this is where I thought that Mike probably might have taken it too far. But I like that Mike was standing up for himself. Mike understands more than anyone, if they don't make it to the championship game or even win a Super Bowl or to the Super Bowl, that Sean Payton or Dan Quinn's probably the head coach next year.
Whoa. You said Mike understands. When do you think that he would you think he would understand that if they underachieve next year? Because I don't.
You don't if think they he would understand that?
No.
I think he knows. I think that's why he did this.
No. I think he knows it's a good possibility. But if there's also, I can see him, if he's still the head coach next year at this time and they have a similar season they had last season, he'll talk about how that they're still building through the draft and they're getting it to where they need it to go. I mean, we've heard this the last 2 years. I don't think he'd be that stunned either way. But now with him saying some of this stuff, he's showing that it kind of annoys him. But I think Jerry was kind of annoyed that, you know, when Jerry says stuff like, I don't want to have to wait till the end of the season to make these adjustments when we see stuff that's going wrong during the season. That, to me, was a shot at Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff for not making adjustments. And then to play the way they did in the playoffs, as poorly as they played at home, the only wild card team to lose at home and play that poorly at home, I think that all of this is Jerry did all this on purpose to light a fire.
All right, let's play the cut here.
Yeah.
It is unusual for an owner to say this sort of stuff, certainly about a coordinator that you have a great relationship with and has done a terrific job. I mean, so that's why I'm just wondering, do you address it directly with him at all?
Yeah, no, we talked about it. We talked about Dan's situation. Okay. Yeah, definitely. We talked about Sean Payton's narrative also. It's been discussed.
You have discussed that with him. Huh? Is anything you can share that you have discussed?
The conversation was, you know, you and I are in this, you know, back to back, and you know, it's a partnership, and you know, just focus on what we need to do moving forward. He made some personal comments about, you know, how he feels about it, but you know, that's really for him and I. But mm-hmm. I'm very, very comfortable with our relationship and our dialogue. I mean, it's at the end of the day, we both want the same thing.
The comment that stuck out to me was he had some personal comments that stayed between us about how he feels about it, about Sean Payton. You know, like, hey, you know, that Sean's my guy, you know, and just we go way back, you know, just so you know, it's there's nothing to do with you. It's just,
if Jerry said that, why wouldn't you share that? There's nothing there that would make Mike not want to share anything.
Keep
it
between us. Keep it off the record. Keep it all off the record.
Why are you calling up Rich Eisen then? You're clearly trying to put stuff out there. So I think it was a little bit more pointed than that, but that's fair.
What do you think, Saad?
I think the fact that, like, you know, that he brought it up kind of unprompted was kind of interesting there. The fact, I don't think Rich even has, it kind of caught Rich off guard too. And when he brought up Sean Payton's name, and I think that's where, you know, that Mike's trying to, you know, get in control of the whole situation. And I feel like he kind of felt like the last few weeks or so, just kind of everything was being said or written about him. And now he's trying to get ahead of it. I don't think that he, it's because he's opened it up and to questions for Jerry and Mike, where now everything that was just rumor mill is now substantial. Now it's real. Now you can ask Jerry, you can ask Mike about Sean Payton. They both know it's the elephant in the room. And I think Mike McCarthy just wanted to kind of get ahead of it on his own terms.
Mike just barged into Jerry's office. What the hell is this Payton crap?
And Jerry calmly said, don't lose in the first round to San Francisco at home.
Yeah,
we won't be talking about this. I mean, take care of business. Don't look like a team that's completely unprepared in the biggest game of the year when that's all we were told all year is how this is ramping up to when we're going to play our best ball at the end of the year. And we probably played our worst ball. Are we done here? Cool.
I was very motivated for coming in. By home team starring Kevin James, Mike, and I just need you to know. But do whatever it takes to get that man in this building.
Did you watch that?
Did I? Yes. Oh, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Had to.
John?
Did you not, John?
No. Oh. I'll get around to it.
I won't.
Why not?
This doesn't look good.
Oh. You that only watch things? Hold on. You only watch things?
To watch it?
Oh, wow. So you've never seen Draft Day?
Well, I had to. That was part
thanks.
Of it.
Thanks well,
I
for
didn't,
coming.
I didn't volunteer to do Draft Day.
Yeah,
it was,
for
it was more of the place I work with. Yeah, go meet the listeners and watch Draft Day, that type of thing.
I do not hate Draft Day as much as others do.
I do.
I think it's fine. I don't think it's the worst thing. I've
bury
seen
bury some ashes on Draft Day on the midfield.
I guess if you watch like Anchorman 2.
Weird relationships happening within organizations.
I guess after you watch Anchorman 2, you can just kind of take anything in and be like, yeah, well, it is what it is.
Air Bud Wide Retriever's better than Draft Day.
Yeah.
That's throwing football to a dog. Why do we have to, like, if you're Costner, like, you know football a little bit, right? Probably. You've done a lot of sports movies. Like, let's maybe get some of this draft currency right.
My favorite thing about...
That's all my this is my only issue.
When they're going watching tape on Draft Day, like they're on the clock, they're like, "Oh, go pull up some of his plays."
Oh, you guys just now seen this? Wow.
Yeah, they haven't watched film on the guy until draft. It's funny on that movie too, where they clearly like wrote the movie and they had like fill in the blank as a team. They're like, "Oh, whatever team does it," and then it ended up being the Browns. But the script said like had all these players being like, I've always wanted to be a Cleveland Brown my entire life. It's like, that would never
hold on,
be the
Ken.
Case.
You're going to say that them going back and watching some tape of a player right before they draft him is unrealistic, but not the fact that it's, no, let's call the player.
The entire movie's unrealistic.
Hold on. Not the part where it's, let's call the player and see how many of his teammates were at his 21st birthday.
Yeah.
As you're on the clock. Not like in doing your due diligence and out in Indy in the combine. As you're on the clock, you're asking him how many of his friends came to his 21st birthday. It's entertaining me. I like it.
I do think it's interesting. So they go, the thing about the draft is there was a lot of trading happening last minute, willy nilly. We don't have to get into it.
It's not a documentary.
I'm just saying,
Callahan's teammates didn't invite him to his birthday party.
Yeah.
Or did to their birthday party or whatever.
Devontae Mack, no matter what, it didn't matter.
Terrible.
It didn't matter. You're right.
To be honest, like that, the Mike McCarthy thing, not that big of a deal. The reason I do like him defending himself.
Yeah.
Even though
he should.
I think all the crap that was said about him has been fair though. The things Jerry
absolutely.
Said was fair. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay.
If you're a Cowboys fan, you should love this.
Also,
everybody just shutting up and just being happy with what happened last year and nobody being frustrated, that would be ridiculous. People should be angry.
Yeah, and that's kind of what happened here for a decade. And that's because the relationship between the head coach and the owner was so widely different between Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones. Like I think that's what everyone kind of got used to, but that's not how it's necessarily supposed to be with really anybody. You go to any organization, but especially not a job as high profile as the Cowboys. Like, you shouldn't just be able to skate underneath when you're underachieving year after year. Like, you should have the fire there. Like, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, like, that's probably the only people who have that kind of security. Everyone else should have these conversations going on when you underachieve the way McCarthy has.
Oh, yeah. If you're Belichick and you've won multiple Super Bowls and you're in charge of bringing in the players on top of it, yeah, you can get away with whatever you want. But to come off the season they just came off of with it, with being as healthy as they were going into the playoffs, to have the talent that they had and to look as bad as they did, like, I mean, that's a huge opportunity that they missed. That there's no guarantee that their roster is as good as it was this past year for the next decade. We don't know that. There's no guarantee that happens. Like, these aren't just, oh, we'll get them next year. Like, how many teams say it? Like the Bengals, they probably think, like, we'll be back in the Super Bowl next year. Will you? Falcons thought they would. You know, like, there's no guarantee. And so with these ways, this isn't the NBA where, like, you can, like, well, they were just building. And then, like, next year, you know, this was just their get over the hump. They're not even close to getting over the hump yet. And if you're not going to do it with that roster, and you know, if you're Jerry Jones, like, we sit here on these podcasts and we write stories about what guys could be gone, what guys could get back. Like, Jerry already has a really good idea who's going to be gone, who's going to be back. And he knows, he's not going to tell us this, but he knows that this roster is not going to be as talented as it was last year. And so he sees that missed opportunity and he's going to be pissed. And how else can he obviously isn't going to fire Mike McCarthy. That's clear. He's, you know, there doesn't appear to be making any other major moves on the coaching staff. So this appears like you're pretty coming pretty close to just running this back, coaching staff wise. So do something to light a fire. I don't know, man. If I was a Cowboys fan, I'd like it.
Yeah. And look, there's a lot of things that are going to happen over the next few weeks. Obviously, we got Combine Week coming up. The news there was potentially news, but now the Combine has changed its policy. So you're going to see players there. I know the players kind of put in a hard stance that they weren't going to go if they had to be bubbled up. They're not going to be bubbled up. Combine's probably going to be about as normal as possible. So we'll have some stuff there. And that's where maybe we'll get Jerry talking again and see what he's got to say. And then plenty of stuff is kind of getting ready for the draft and free agency. We'll have a free agency podcast coming up soon with a shopping list and things like that. But we wanted to catch up on a couple of last week's stories because they were big stories on notoriously a week where there's nothing happening after the Super Bowl. Leave it to the Cowboys to spice up the league. We will return next week. We will have more on About Them Cowboys. Make sure you're following Sod on the Dallas Stars beat. As the Dallas Stars, you know, it's kind of scrapping away for a playoff spot. Make sure you're following John. He's got a piece up right now, you know, so five positions of need for the Cowboys. There's our five needs the Cowboys might have this offseason. We'll obviously have a free agency shopping list for you soon. And Kent Garrison producing this damn thing like he always does. So holler at us on Twitter if you want to chat. Also, we're all just guys who like a good back and forth. All right, it's like hanging out. So holler at us, and we'll see you next week on About Them Cowboys. Cool? Everyone good? Everyone happy?
How about y'all fix this shit, Rich?